You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Lockdown Wolves Podcast, part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the LockedOn.com website. Yeah, that's right. We have a website again. LockedOn.com is the place to find all the shows for MLB, for NFL, NBA, the brand shows like Locked On NFL, Locked On NBA. College shows, all those are in one convenient spot on the LockedOn.com website. Make sure to go check that out. Also, if you wouldn't mind, please go and rate and subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating on all the shows, but especially on this one, the Locked On Wolves podcast. Thank you so much, and I appreciate everyone tuning in and listening to the show. Always, always appreciate the listeners, and appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Tonight, as promised, today we're going to be talking about the Lakers. Tonight, the Timberwolves play the Lakers. They are on the road in LA. We're almost done with this road trip. The Timberwolves are 4-1 at home, and they are 0-6 on the road. Yikes. Yikes. I talked about with Seth Tobel of KLGR, host of The Scoop, about how they need to find road wins. We talked about that yesterday. And really, we're just going to be kind of diving in a little deeper into that today with the conversation about the Lakers. But a lot of the same stuff. They need to find a road win here on this long trip. And this is the easy – this is not – these are not going to be gimmies, I'm not saying that, but of the games that they play on the road, these are definitely the easiest contests. They start out with the Warriors, Blazers, Clippers, all three losses, and then we finish out here with the Lakers and the Kings. So these are the easier matchups for the Timberwolves of the 5-game road trip that is lasting a week. And just for the show today, as far as a plan, going to be previewing this matchup. What can you take away from the win they had over the Lakers at home? What can they apply to the road? And then we're going to get some predictions and all that good stuff. So keeping it pretty tightly wound on the game. So let's get into it. First of all, we have for tonight injuries. There's nobody listed injured or out for the Lakers as of right now. As for the Timberwolves, we have Teague and Patton are going to be out. Butler is still day-to-day with his we're not even going to justify by calling it an injury. With his continued drama with the franchise, he's going to be out. Tyus Jones will have seen the Kentucky Wildcats get destroyed by Duke in the season debut of college basketball. Hopefully that inspires him seeing the alma mater destroy the number 2 team in the country in Kentucky. The Duke Blue Devils just put on a show with Barrett and Zion Williamson coming in, being the freshmen that are so hyped. And he, if you didn't see the story, but Jimmy Butler actually arranged a private jet to fly Tyus Jones out there, which is not only baller, that's pretty bougie. But I guess Tyus Jones is the one friend on this team that Jimmy Butler has left, so he's taking care of him, and it's been well documented, the friendship of Tyus Jones, Jimmy Butler, and the back and forth they have. So he got him out to see his younger brother's debut at Duke, and he'll be back. Tyus will be back for this game, obviously, but hopefully the Blue Devils were able to inspire him and help lead this team to a victory on the road that they desperately need. This is going to be obviously a tough game. The Lakers are another one of those NBA teams that just play better at home. Doesn't always translate to wins, but they do play tougher at home. But again, it's the same as last time where points are going to be really important. Getting buckets in transition is going to be very important for the Timberwolves. The Los Angeles Lakers now third in points per game in the league, 118.9 points per game, and they're shooting 28.6 to be exact, three-pointers per game. That's their attempts, averaging 34% from range. This team is going to score a lot of points. They're going to try and attack the perimeter. You have Ingram, you have Kuzma, LeBron. These guys are going to try and knock down shots from outside, Lonzo Ball. And I think still that the backcourt is going to be another one of these matchups I talked about headed into this road stint where the backcourt was going to be a challenge for the Timberwolves, especially with injuries. There's some really good backcourts. Lonzo Ball has been playing really well, went over his stats heading into the series, but he's being a more efficient point guard, shooting more efficiently. He has more assists per game this year. So it's going to be tougher. Now you add Rondo. The backcourt is going to be tougher for the Timberwolves, especially with Teague out. You lose a little depth there. But the way that Derrick Rose has been playing on this road trip, I still think that the Timberwolves can find an edge there. Really, it comes down to taking advantage of opportunities. On this road trip, Wiggins has been really aggressive on defense. It's translated to a lot of steals. He's had six steals in the first three games of this road trip. And so it's nice to see that aggressive style of play, not only at home, but on the road on defense. And that's going to be the saving grace of this team, if there is such a thing for the Timberwolves even, is their defense, which is mostly just grabbing turnovers at this point. They're not going to beat you in the half court, but very many times. But what they are going to do is they're going to grab turnovers, and then in transition, that's how the Timberwolves beat you. We've hammered this point home before. We've talked about this before on the show. But getting transition buckets is going to be really important for the Timberwolves when they're up against really solid offenses that can actually keep pace with what the Timberwolves do, which is put up a lot of points, speed up the pace of the game. The Lakers are going to be more than comfortable in that style of play. And so grabbing buckets when the Lakers get sloppy, that is going to be key for the Timberwolves. And again, you're not sure if Jimmy Butler is going to play. He's day-to-day because with all this drama, you're not sure how that carries over from game to game. But you do know that you cannot count on him every single game, which sucks because you should be able to count on your best player to at least be there when he's healthy. But you know what? That's the nature of what's going on. So in this type of situation, when you don't know if Jimmy Butler can show up, I'm looking to Josh Okogie and Wiggins to get turnovers, which they have proven they can do. Both of those guys are superb athletes. They're really good at when they're playing loose and free-flowing, when they're not playing tight and constricted basketball. They're really good at jumping into a lane, grabbing passes intended for somebody else, anticipating where the offense is going to go. And so I want to see them play fast and free-flowing basketball. You need to see both of those guys grab steals. Tyus Jones, I think I'm pretty confident that he will stay in that style. That's kind of where he makes his money, grabbing assists and grabbing steals. And so now he needs a couple other guys to do that for him. If Jimmy Butler's there, I think that he could be another guy to grab two or three turnovers that really change the way this game turns out. But from your young guys, that's what you really need to see tonight, is you need to see both Wiggins and Okogie really stepping up on that end. And then you know both those guys. Okogie's kind of turning into the coast-to-coast. That's kind of his signature move right now throughout the first leg of this season. That's kind of been his developed move, is he is really good at flipping the floor fast on a defense, grabbing a steal, or even off a bucket, really turning the floor fast on a defense and getting down the floor quickly, surprising defenders. That coast-to-coast is really kind of his signature move right now early on in his career. I want to see a few of those. I want to see him score 6 to 8 fast break points. I want to see him get down the floor quickly, really put this Lakers defense on their heels. Same for Wiggins. Also, the other day, I cannot remember which game it was. I think it was against the Clippers, but I'm not sure. But one of the broadcasters mentioned how he hadn't really seen the aggressive go through for your throat dunks that is so characteristic of Wiggins and is kind of a hallmark of his game. He's not really a three-point shooter. He's a long 2-3 kind of player, kind of those hybrid players, the 2-3 hybrid, long athlete, really fast, uber athletic, really good at streaking to the basket. He can find a rhythm from outside, but where he makes his money is just being faster and being more athletic than you, getting up on top of that rim and throwing down, getting to the basket quickly, creating openings because of how quickly he can move off ball. That is where he is going to really excel most consistently. And the broadcaster made a good point, which is you haven't seen that vicious dunk from him this year. I mean, you've seen him get to the rim. You haven't seen the cutthroat, go for your life kind of posters that I think are pretty common for him throughout the first few years of his career. It would be awesome to see him really take it to the Lakers. This is going to be a primetime game in LA against LeBron James. Let's see some go for your throat from Wiggins. I love the added intensity from him. I love that it seems like he cares about every game, which was kind of a knock on him for the first couple of years of his career, that he kind of checks out for some games. He really seems locked into pretty much all of these games. I have not really that many complaints about Wiggins, honestly. He has taken a big step up. Free throw percentage is better this season. His defense is playing better. He's playing more free flowing. He looks more loose, and I'm happy with his play this season, but I would really like to see in a primetime game, I'd really like to see him really go cutthroat in this game, really throw down on some guys in transition. Would be awesome. That would be awesome. I think it would be a really good spark for this team. Just as far as kind of the big problems for the Timberwolves, obviously LeBron James is somebody you always are going to have trouble with. 26.8 points per game. He's shooting 50% from the field this year. He has 7.6 rebounds, 7.7 assists, 1.7 steals. LeBron stuff, you expect him to be really good. I want to be careful with how I say this because, and again, I still believe LeBron is the best player in the world at this point. I still do believe that. I'm young enough where I still think LeBron is the best player to play basketball with the consistency he's had over the entirety of his career. I know that on the podcast last year at one point we did a LeBron versus Michael Jordan podcast because I think if you want to continue to say that you cover an NBA team, I think you're legally held responsible and have to do one of those podcasts. Otherwise, they take away your journalism degree. But we did one of those. Honestly, all I know is what I've learned from YouTube about Michael Jordan. I know that's not the full scope. And so I know that anyone who lived in that era is going to go with Jordan over James. And I get that. For me, for the guys I've watched and been there sitting on the couch year after year, going through all the great players over my lifetime that I've been able and have had the pleasure of viewing, LeBron James is so far and away above all of those guys. He's got to be my number one guy throughout the generations. And again, I get that has a lot to do with when I was born, but that's the way it is. So with all of that in mind, and with all the respect I have for LeBron James, I will say it feels a little bit like he's coasting. And we know that LeBron James has the two gears, the regular season gear, the playoff gear, the finals gear, even if you want to go into three. But it does feel like it's a little bit more of a strong coast than when he was just trying to stay healthy with the Cavaliers or when he was just trying to weather some of the drama of the Cavaliers over the last couple of seasons in Cleveland. It feels different from that. It feels like he sees the talent around him and he just knows it's not enough. And so he's taking a baby step back And it feels like if you can really get up on the Lakers, you can kind of get him to coast through the second half of this game. If you can really put it on him in the first half, you can kind of give him to coast through the second half of that game. And again, you cannot diminish, in my mind, LeBron's greatness. And this is not a knock on him. But this is a really young team, a really raw team. And this is a team with a far from perfect mix and match of age and youth around LeBron. This is not the most well-constructed roster that he has had in his career. And so this is going to take some time to get the Lakers where I think everybody anticipates they should be because LeBron is already on the roster. And because of that, I think there is some coasting. There is some putting the marathon of the season before maybe single games in LeBron's head. And I think if you really get up on this Lakers team, I think there's a way to get him to check out. Sounds bad, but I'm failing for other descriptions of what the proper way to look at LeBron in that second half would be if you get up on the Lakers. But if you can get him to kind of just put it on cruise control through the second half, I think that is how you find a win and how you find a victory. And I think the Timberwolves can do that if they get up on the Lakers early. And so how do they do that outside transition points? Knocking down shots. The offense has done a good job of taking a lot of threes this year, but on this road trip, they've been pretty bad. For this road trip, they've shot 26%. Going into it, the Timberwolves were one of the better three-point shooting teams in percentage, actually. They were in the top 12 for shooting percentage. I believe it was at 36. It's failing me now. But now they've dropped down to 34% shooting. They are 19th in the NBA in three-point shooting percentage. They've shot, like I said, 26% over the last three games on the road trip. They're finding looks. They're finding good looks for their guys. They just need to knock some of this stuff down. Some of this is rhythm. Some of this is there's just a lot of pressure in some of these situations to really knock down shots. Some of this is they're taking shots a little too early in the shot clock. They're seeing some good looks, but they could even get a better look. There's a little desperation on every possession needs to be really good. You saw in that Clippers game, I think there's a few times in that Clippers game where there was some possessions. I know Jimmy Butler had 16 points in that fourth quarter, but there were some possessions where taking a shot after not passing it, taking a shot 4 seconds into the shot clock, after not passing and just kind of dribbling down, taking two dribbles and shooting a fadeaway 15-footer, that's not good. I know they were down at one point in that fourth quarter by a pretty good margin, and they ended up losing that one by 11, but they were down by 10 for large periods before they were able to close the gap a little bit in that fourth quarter. And I know you feel like you need to get things done quickly, but there was still a lot of time when they were doing those quick shots at the top of the shot clock. And you can't speed it up like that. You can't sacrifice sound offense and a sound attack in the name of speed. You have to do the way they're playing at home, where they take advantage of a fast bucket because of fast transition look, where you have guys down there where you're beating their numbers. Just what the defense is giving you, open presented looks, or what guys are allowing on the defense for the opposing team. That's when you have to speed it up. You have to take advantage of those scenarios. Taking shots early in the shot clock and in the name of speed, making some poor decisions, some ill-advised shots, that's no good. That's no way to beat anybody on the road. That's no way to beat anybody just in general. And so the Timberwolves need to slow things down, make sure they're making that extra pass, really moving around the perimeter, they can get good looks, and then grabbing those buckets, just knocking those down, finding a rhythm early is super, super important. I would love to see a lot of minutes for Anthony Tolliver. I would like to see him knock down a bunch of shots. I think that he is a guy who can energize their three-point game. If you didn't notice, Tyson Chandler was signed the other day to the Lakers. So the center position is kind of interesting for that center power forward spot. Is interesting for the Lakers. Now they have JaVale McGee and Chandler. I still think, though, that as well as JaVale McGee has played through the first leg of this season, I still like Towns in this game. And if you look at the numbers for the Clippers, we went over this a little bit yesterday with Seth, but he had 13 points in that first quarter against the Clippers on 7 shot attempts. He was on fire, and he had 7 rebounds. He was playing really well, and then they just kind of faded away from him. He had 7 points the rest of that game. I believe he finished 22. My memory is failing me now. But either way, he didn't even have double digits the rest of that game. That's a problem. That's a problem. You need to, if you are the Timberwolves and you have a matchup that you're taking advantage of, keep going back to it. Don't beat it to death, obviously, but keep going back to it. Keep finding that guy. Use that to the maximum. And he should have had 35 points in that game, honestly, is what it comes down to. He should have had 35 points in that game, and they just went away from him too early and never really came back to him. And again, I understand you don't want to use the same thing over and over again and get stuck in a stagnant offense. And Butler had 16 points in the fourth quarter. He was feeling it in the fourth quarter. He was knocking down shots. But there are still opportunities to keep going back to Towns in that situation when he has a clear matchup and he's clearly feeling it. He should have had 35 points in that game, and you still can have Butler have 16 in the fourth quarter, and you can still be creative and versatile on offense. It's about taking advantage of a matchup while still running the offense that you need to run to win games. And again, yeah, 20 points for Towns against the Clippers. So yes, 7 points for the rest of the game. Again, they took him out of it, it seemed, early after that first quarter. Go back to him. I think he's going to have some advantages in this matchup. Go back to him. Go back to him. Find him again. And I think that that'll pay dividends for the Timberwolves and transition buckets. There's the other thing. We're going to get to some game predictions. And then we're going to be finishing out the show. You're going to have the Lakers game to watch. All before that, though, here are some sponsors. Fantastic, as always. We appreciate all of our sponsors supporting the show and the Locked On Network. Now, some predictions. So, I actually think the Timberwolves are going to bounce back in a big way. They desperately need a victory, and finding a couple of wins here to finish out the West Coast trip is going to be crucial. And so, I have the Timberwolves finding themselves, finding a rhythm, and having them win 126-115 over the Los Angeles Lakers. I think that Wiggins actually has a really good game tonight. I think he drops 26. I think you see Derrick Rose drop somewhere in that 16-22 range. I think you see Towns go for 30. And I think those are the big mainstays in this game. And again, Butler might play, Butler might not. He could go for 30 against this Lakers team, but he might not even play. So I don't have a prediction for him. I think Okogie has 3 steals in this game, which will be really big early on in flipping some of the momentum that the Lakers have at home, flipping some of that momentum, getting some steals and some transition buckets early will be a nice way to try and change the flow and rhythm of this game. And I think that Ingram has a big game as well for the Lakers. I think that he ends up going for 28 points in this game. It's just really hard to figure out a way to guard somebody who's that tall and long and can attack you from outside. And then in the same breath, he can also dash to the rim, put you on skates, go into the basket. He's a really talented player, and he's starting to come into his own. And you see him. His development maybe has been a little slower than people want, but I think you see him making progressive steps. I know he's not averaging as many points as last year, 15 as opposed to 16 last year, but you see his field goal percentage That's gone up a little bit, shooting a little more efficiently. Baby steps, he's averaging more blocks this year. He's averaging, fewer rebounds than assists, but LeBron's there, so that kind of checks out. But you see some progression there. I think he's going to continue to get better over this season, learn some things from LeBron. LeBron's going to give him some looks that he just wasn't getting with LeBron off this team too, obviously. So I think he ends up having a big night as well. Timberwolves struggle defending from outside. I think he's going to take advantage of that, and I think LeBron's going to see that matchup and feed him a little bit tonight. Those are my predictions for tonight's game. Thank you, everyone, for listening and tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.